And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Hey, what's going on? Good to be with you on this finally Friday. We've made it to the end of our work week. All good stuff there. My name is David Tewksbury. Thanks again for lending us your ears on this Friday installment of the show. And, of course, it's a good Friday for all you Catholics and Christians out there, as well as Easter, of course, that is coming up here on Sunday, Easter Sunday. Looking forward to that. And just looking forward to the weekend ahead of us. Looking forward to the show on tap today. It is a loaded and fun show on FSA. Who do we talk to today? Well, towards the bottom of the hour, the head coach of the UW Green Bay Phoenix. He is Sundance Wicks. He'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. And then Coach Neer of the softball squad. She'll be joining us coming up here in about 15 minutes on the show, 10 to 15 minutes, softball squad of Aberdeen Central. So looking forward to the show here today. And a loaded show for you here on this finally Friday installment of the program. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Like you said, looking forward to the Easter weekend. I was thinking about it. Doesn't really feel like April's upon us, does it? I mean, what is it? April Fool's Day? Are you a big April Fool's Day guy?
You know what? I used to be, and I want to pull lots of pranks on April Fool's Day. Some of them radio related. And I've decided against it because I think if I did what I want to do, and I'll probably tell you about that off the air, I think it would make a lot of people mad. Number one, our boss, which is probably not a good thing. And number two, would probably upset some other people. I'll just word it like that. I really want to do some radio related pranks, but I can't pull the trigger. You know?
I'm not the biggest April Fool's guy. It's like I'll do a joke and crickets. No one would like them.
So just like the Sports Hub.
Yes.
You know, every time I'm making a joke, it's always just crickets. You know, kind of the way that works out. But no, I've got nothing up my sleeve this year, although there are definitely some things that I want to do. I've decided against all better judgment to abstain from April Fool's Day on Monday.
Now, you doing anything special for this weekend, for Easter? Or?
Nothing too crazy. You know, my parents typically come out for Easter, but they are just suffering in the Florida sun. You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my parents are retired, so they enjoy the entire month of March in Florida. Must be tough, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. I wish I was in Florida.
Yeah, no kidding. They're always like, yeah, come on down. It's like you're in the heart of basketball season, of course, and state bees and all that sort of thing. I probably could have taken some time off to head down there after the tournament was over, thought about it, but then it's just like you never know with Northern how far they would go, so you never want to book anything prematurely.
Sure.
And hey, Coach Kruger, sorry I can't make it to the Final Four. Oh, what's going on? Oh, well, I booked something last April to go down south to visit my parents in Florida. So I don't think that'd be a fun conversation to have with Coach K or Coach Phillips for
now,
next year.
Now, another question. Do you have a go-to Easter meal?
Got to be ham.
Ham?
Big ham guy.
Ham? Okay.
My wife hates ham.
So what? Do you make something separate?
No, we just go. We've been going steaks lately.
Steaks, okay.
Yeah, we'll go steaks on the grill or something like that, and really enjoy it with, you know, some nice wine or something like that. But yeah, she is not a ham person. I probably should have maybe done my better due diligence when we were still dating to say, I don't know if this is going to work out.
I'm a ham person.
Oh, you got to love ham.
Yeah, I'm a big ham guy. Green Eggs and Ham, one of my favorite books as a kid, right?
Sam I Am, Green Eggs and Ham, absolutely. And I tell you what, it's something that I wish that she liked more of, but you know what? Can't all be first-round picks, right?
No.
Oh, man, I love my wife. She's fantastic. And I can prod jokes at her because she can take it. And believe me, I'm like a walking pincushion back at home. She's got lots of jokes that she hurls my way. So it's a love relationship. Very sarcastic there. It's all good there with JB back at home. All right, David Tewksbury alongside Matt McClure here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Coach Neer, she'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour, or next 10 minutes, I should say. I told her off the air just a few short moments ago. I said I'm gonna slip at some point. She says it's totally fine. So sorry about that, Coach Neer. She'll be joining us here in about 10 minutes on the program, talking some Aberdeen Central softball. Looking forward to that. Their season officially opened up yesterday. And of course, just across the way from me, I call him
Mr. Unlimited.
As we get to the jump here for this Good Friday installment of the show, and a lot to get to per usual. And How about your Minnesota Twins? They have not lost all season. They're now undefeated. Can't go 162-0 if you don't start 1-0, right? So yeah. Good on them.
Yeah, seven innings pitch from Pablo Lopez, too. Absolutely shoved in the first game. I'll tell you what, he was unhittable, it seemed like. He gave up an early run, but they got a little run support early. How about Royce Lewis hit that home run out of the gate? I was driving on my way home from work, and I threw on the game, and Royce Lewis there, they threw him a couple sliders early in the count, and he just absolutely hammered a fastball and drilled it. And, of course, I think I saw he got hurt.
He did, naturally,
and,
right?
Yeah, I'm just like, are you kidding me? First game of the season. I don't know the severity of the injury, but really nice start for the Twins. I think what we've learned with this team over the last year and a half or so is that they got good pitching, and it's just going to come down to if the offense can give that pitching enough run support. Now, that's where they've struggled in my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get 4 to 5 runs, you got a good chance of winning games. The problem is they go on a couple stretches where they don't score at all, 1-2 runs, and you're in close games, and it can go either way. So that's what I'm looking at with the Twins. Nice start, and naturally, they have the day off today.
Exactly. 3 runs and fewer, you're in hot water, but 4 and above gives yourself kind of a puncher's chance. But I will say I'm looking forward to the Twins season here. And, of course, you are a diehard Baltimore Orioles fan. And
did you see that yesterday?
Off to a good start,
oh,
huh?
Oh, man, they absolutely got off to a great start, 11-3 over the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
Such a Corbin Burns fan now.
Great pitcher for the Brewers.
Yeah, former Cy Young winner. And just watching him orchestrate on the mound was something special. Of course, one of my big pet peeves in Major League Baseball, and as the season goes on, you'll understand this, but taking out pitchers when they got like 80 pitches.
Yeah.
They took him out in the 6th inning. I'm like, why don't throw him 8? See, what's the deal with taking these pitchers out so early? But I'll tell you what, that offense was special. This is going to be a good team, man. Keep an eye on them this year.
I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. Cubs started off slow. They fell yesterday to Texas in extra innings. But when Joe Maddon was the manager for the Cubs, he was synonymous for that. It's like Kyle Hendricks is in the 6th or 7th inning. Dude's dealing. He gives up 1 or 2 hits. Oh, we got to take him out. It's like he's surrendered 3 hits the entire game. You're up 5-0. He's got 80 pitches. Why are you taking him out of the game?
I hate that.
Drives me nuts.
It's like, it makes zero sense whatsoever. Guy was cruising, and all it takes is a couple walks from the bullpen arm, and next thing you know, it gets a little bit tight. So just ride the hot hand. These managers never do it. It bothers me.
I'm right there with you. But speaking of your Baltimore Orioles, I saw this on social media yesterday. A guy was over in Tokyo, big Baltimore Orioles fan. He says, I spotted this guy on the train in Tokyo. He's wearing a Baltimore Orioles hat. So he goes, hey, how about them O's? Very dryly, he responded in a German accent, oh, I see, it's because of the, and he points to his hat. He says, I just like the duck. I think it's cool.
He likes the duck.
He likes the duck.
Not even the bird.
Not even the bird. It's an Oriole. He likes the duck. So there you go.
It is a nice logo. I'm glad they went back with that logo. Probably within the last 10 years.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it, that's for sure. Got to get a couple more here very, very quick, like before Coach Neer joins us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I can't promise this. I will try to make this the last food-related one, but I came across this yesterday. I shared it with you on social media. New at Busch Stadium, the Cardinals, they have the Slinger Dog. It features 2 fried eggs, a third of a pound of a hot dog, nacho meat and hash browns in a freshly made Fazio's bun. I shot you that text message there last night, which looks absolutely delectable to die for. Question is, how the H are you supposed to eat that at a baseball game without being completely, completely messy?
Yeah, get the napkins out ready for that one. But I think the big difference with that one, the bread looks amazing on that, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does.
Yeah, with the eggs on top and the hot dog, the bread can make the difference with a sandwich now.
Very much so. Very much the case. But yeah, that's an absolute disaster waiting to happen with your shorts, with your shirt, with your hands. It's just going to be a complete mess.
Don't wear a white jersey with that one.
Yeah, that'd be a bad, bad, bad play. By the way, speaking of the Twins, talked about them just a few short moments ago. Yesterday at Kansas City for opening day, 38,775. That's a really nice crowd for opening day. In Oakland, different story.
Oh, geez. No one's there.
Nobody is there.
What in the heck is that?
And the official announced attendance was 13,522. Believe you and me, there is not 13,000 people there. There's not 15,000 people. There's not 9 people there.
What is that? There is no one there. They have to almost go, like, be that surprise team that goes, like, 90 wins, makes a wild card or something for fans to even think about going to games there, it seems like.
I know it. That's one of the reasons why they're going to be moving here before it's all said and done. And I just have a perfect idea for Curb Your Enthusiasm. Did you ever watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
If Larry David would go to an Oakland Athletics game and he sits in, like, row double Z and he's like, these seats suck, let's get out of here. He tries to move closer and then the ticket taker or one of the ushers is like, sir, you got to go back to your seat.
That's a great idea.
Can you imagine that? It's just like, there's nobody there. I want to get a little bit closer. And then someone, the ticket taker, the usher is like, I'm sorry, sir, you've got to go back to your
side
seat. You've
got to sit in your side seats where your tickets are.
But there's no one here. There's no one else here. Sir, I don't want to get into a whole thing here. Go back to your assigned seat.
Curb Your Enthusiasm needs to make that an episode. That would be probably one of my favorites if that was the case.
I think it's a dynamite idea. LD, you can take these ideas and give me credit. And you can pay me a couple $1 million. I'm sure that you can
you can afford that.
Probably afford that. That's patent pending. That's good stuff. All right, coming up next on the show, we're talking some softball. Coach Cassidy Neer, she'll be joining us live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Looking forward to that. And also, towards the bottom of the hour, head coach of the Phoenix of UW Green Bay, Sundance Wicks, towards the bottom of the hour, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Back on this Friday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Yes, sir.
This song used to be on Guitar Hero.
Correct.
You used to play that game?
Oh, yeah.
This song was legendary.
Eric Johnson, Cliffs of Dover.
Yep.
I'm all about this song.
Good stuff. No words, right? No singing in
all
this song.
All instrumental.
Yeah, no, this is a throwback to Guitar Hero 3 for me.
1991, I believe, Avia Musicom, track number 2.
There you go.
Great album.
I'll have to check that out.
I got some trademark in here later on this album, or later on in the show. That's a whole other story. Coach Neer's over here like, what the heck are you guys talking about? Did you ever play Guitar Hero back in the day?
I was pretty young, but a little bit. I watched my siblings play for sure.
Easy, hard, were they on the expert level?
They were, I don't even honestly remember. I just remember it got really intense sometimes.
Oh, man.
Got competitive.
Yeah, I love that game. I was always on, I think medium was the highest I went because everything other than that was just brutal.
Yeah, I could do easy pretty good, but the problem is I feel like only two of my fingers work when I'm doing it. My cousin Brian, big shout out to him, he would do expert. You know, the hardest song on the game was Through the Fire and Flames.
Right.
He would just shred. I'm like, how are you doing this?
Yeah.
I'm doing it on easy. I can't even figure out what buttons to click.
Yeah, absolute classic of a game. Always a lot of fun. And we're talking actually like real live games now. We got to talk softball because that's just fun. That's just play.
Yes.
But on the softball side of things, Coach Neer joins us here in studio. Year two now. Does it kind of feel like you're a little bit more comfortable? I mean, year one, everyone's kind of going at 100 miles an hour. Now it kind of feels like you can kind of decompress a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And just our ability to plan more this year was awesome after having a year under our belts. I know last year from tryouts to our first game, we were only supposed to have like 4 days, and this year we got 12 days. So that in and of itself makes such a big difference when you're planning, prepping for game one, making sure you go over your defensive plays, your offensive plays, all that kind of stuff. It just was absolutely night and day from last year.
Good to hear.
Wasn't last year the first year of the high school softball season in South Dakota?
Yep.
So what did it seem like it was a little bit more organized coming into this second year? Obviously, you know, it seems like you guys got a ton of games here within the next month.
Yeah, oh yeah, we're going to be busy. But I think the state did a fantastic job making sure things were organized. But just as far as knowing what to expect, how to make plans and how we're going to approach each game, what to expect from the opposing teams, that last year we had nothing to scout. There was no scouting report. There was none of that. So being able to know what to expect against other teams, I think that's a big game changer as well.
In terms of numbers, was there a lot that kind of tried out for this year? Probably more than last year, I'm sure.
So we actually are in the – we're probably one of the few teams in the state that actually have to make cuts for softball because we have so many kids try out.
Okay.
And unfortunately, we just don't have the capacity to accommodate all of them. So last year, I think we had 49 girls try out. This year, all of our varsity girls returned, and almost all of our JV girls returned, and then we still had some new girls come out. So I think this year we had 32 try out, and we kept 24, which is, you know, a good size squad. But our biggest thing is making sure that the girls that we carry with us have a good potential of getting into games and stuff like that. So it's like a good problem to have, but I hope at some point we have, you know, middle school programs and stuff, some more sub varsity levels to keep facilitating that growth.
For sure.
Yeah. And that's gotta be tough, right? As a coach, when you get down to the final roster spots, I guess it is with cuts, right? The coaches always say, we want to keep everybody, but it's just the way it is. Is it difficult for you as a coach as well?
Oh, it's just that too, because while we're trying to grow softball, we can only have so many girls on our roster. And so with doing so, you're sending girls away that want to give softball a chance, and that is like the hardest part as a coach. It's very, very tough day for me. I know everyone at school, all the other teachers are like, the day of when we have to make cuts, they're like, you got this, coach. Like, we believe in you, because it is so hard on my heart, because I do, anyone that wants to play softball, I want them to have that cool experience that I was able to have growing up.
Coach Neer, joining us here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Obviously, I never played softball in high school, but I got cut from the basketball team, and it's not fun, but we all had to do it at some point in time, or at least most of us anyway, the uncoordinated guy like me. But when you're trying to grow the sport of softball here, especially in Aberdeen, where do you start? I mean, it's got to be kind of a difficult process, right?
Definitely last year was really hard to figure out where we were starting at, because we really didn't know what we were getting into until we started playing some games. And once you start playing, you know, baseball, softball in the spring, once you start playing, it's games every other day. You're not really having much time in between. But between, you know, last year and this year, we've done nothing but plan. Our girls have done nothing but prioritize softball. So, I mean, all the props goes to the girls and what they've done in the off season. But even as a coach, it's so helpful to pretty much take where we were at last year. We broke the game down to just pretty much pieced it out to build it back up, and just building the girls' softball IQ. They have natural athleticism. It's just knowing the game of softball in and out, and knowing, having situational awareness. That's what makes the biggest difference. And they've done just that this year. So I would say, you know, going over situations at practices is always our top priority.
Mm-hmm. Is pitching a little bit tough too in the early going, you know, with it being such a new sport? Did you find that difficult at all? Talking to coaches, you know, from last year, they thought that could have been something that was a little bit of a challenge.
Absolutely. We are very fortunate to have our pitching staff. They have worked nonstop. So we have Kaylee Kiso and Kylie Hoffman. And again, like, our team was so young last year. So even this year, we're still young. We're working with, you know, a lot of sophomores, juniors, a lot of freshmen, and a lot of eighth graders. So the best is yet to come for our girls. But with Kaylee Kiso and Kylie, they work with a private pitching coach, which is a girl that I was fortunate enough to play with, Mackenzie Merritt, over at Northern. And she is just lights out. I'm sure you remember Mackenzie. She's electric.
Oh, yeah.
So everything that she gives to the girls when it comes to pitching, they just eat it up, because she has so much knowledge to offer, and she has really taken them to the next level with pitching. So
I know the results haven't been there yet, and especially when you're a young team, when you don't get the instant results, it's just like, man, what other sport can I play? Or can I go play some video games? Can I go play some Guitar Hero or something like that? But you got to stay positive mentally. You always got to stay locked in. Has it been difficult for the girls to kind of stay locked in and positive when the results haven't been there quite yet?
Honestly, no. They are like the most positive group of girls. And I think a lot of that, you know, I have a lot of big beliefs. We always leave practice on a positive note, especially when you're going over cuts and redirects and first and third plays. Those can get messy in practices. Like, sometimes it gets frustrating for girls if things just aren't going the way, because softball's such a gray area. There's no black and white. You know, there's so many variables when you're deciding what play you want to run, what runner you want to get, what we're going to do, speed on the bases, all those things. You know, it's hard for the girls to figure that stuff out. But we always end on a high positive note, whether it's with some type of competitive game or competition or something that allows us to leave smiling. That is what we're all about, and we always try to do that when we leave the field after a game too.
Excellent.
Awesome. Do you have any goals from year one to year two that you want to see from the team a little bit? Is there something in particular maybe this year you're looking at and say, hey, we want to focus a little bit more on this part of the game?
Definitely just having more quality at bats. We struggled a little bit at the start of game one yesterday with strikeouts. So we've been doing things like 0-2 scrimmages, where they get in there and it's like, it's make contact with the ball.
Oh,
do something
awesome.
With your at-bat. Yeah, put the pressure on them. It also allows our pitchers to get live chances without burning their arms out in a scrimmage and stuff like that. But just getting them in there, we want to eliminate some of those strikeouts looking, because that is the most painful thing when you have runners in scoring position. It can really hurt you. So just putting them in positions in practice that will translate to a game is kind of our biggest thing. And we saw that so much yesterday. We were hitting cuts, and that was not something that was happening last year. Our catcher, Olivia, she's just a freshman this year. She was an eighth grader last year, yelling to the outfield, like, where our cut is going, and seeing them do that, and then seeing them come in after third out with, like, they're lit up, like, coach, we did this in practice. I'm like, yeah, we did. Like, let's go. So when you see something translate from practice to a game, that is the coolest feeling as a coach and as a player. And it all makes sense. They're seeing things make sense. And that, I guess, is our goal for this year, is just translating that from practice to game.
I was going to say, that's got to be kind of like maybe the most pride that you get as a head coach to see that light bulb moment go off for them. When it finally goes off, you're like, see, this is what you're capable of.
Yes. And I know these last couple weeks leading up to our first game, they're probably like, man, we do so much talking and so much whiteboard and so much going through situations. And those exact things happened in our games yesterday. Mm-hmm. We had multiple first and third situations where our catcher was calling out plays, our defense was reacting. We didn't miss a single call yesterday. And that's amazing. So while the score didn't necessarily go in our favor, I think there was a lot that we have shown growth in. And the best is yet to come for our girls. So
there you go. Speaking of growth, is there anybody in particular you're looking at, maybe want to see take a step from this past year? Because you mentioned you got a young team.
Yeah.
From this past year to this year. I know it's early on, but is there anybody in particular that you're looking at maybe having a good season?
Honestly, all of our varsity starters, they have shown just unbelievable growth. But one in particular is a freshman, Jayla Bria. She's a freshman for us this year, and she is just a tank at the plate. Like, she comes up, and last year she was a little bit intimidated, you know, hitting against some varsity level pitching as an eighth grader. That's just a scary thing. And this year, there's a picture of her in Sports Scene today, and just her power behind the ball. She's going to be unstoppable, and she has so much potential. But we've looked at, you know, pictures of her swing from last year to this year, and it's a complete different athlete. And one thing we've really stressed is being in the weight room. Obviously, I have a biased opinion on the weight room.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
But getting the girls in the weight room 3 days a week, they're bought in. Like, they absolutely love it. Coach Archigo's done a great job with the girls, just getting them to love being in the weight room and getting excited about it, and just really translating everything we do and keeping it consistent both at softball practice and in the weight room as well. It shows the girls that we care about them a lot. So.
What's your husband putting up nowadays, bench press?
Oh, gosh, he'd probably be mad at me. I'm not really sure about that one. But he could probably be working a little bit harder in the weight room himself.
He's catching strays over here. That's good stuff. Shots fired with Coach Neer. Well, we just had the new head coach for the girls basketball squad in yesterday, Peyton Burkhardt. Kind of feels like there's this youth groundswell of young coaches. Obviously, you're a young coach. She's a young coach. It's kind of like this new generation of young coaches coming through. It's kind of a cool deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually absolutely awesome. Even my assistant this year, Madison Norris, she's in the young crew as well, and she is just lights out when it comes to working with the girls and not being afraid to just take a small group aside and be like, hey, we're going to focus on this skill for 10 minutes, and then we're going to rejoin the big group. When you have 24 girls and two coaches, you really have to divide and conquer. And sometimes we break apart and then finish together as a whole group. But having that young energy is just, it's a lot of fun. I think we get to kind of have a different take on things and take what we've learned and apply it to what, you know, as coaching evolves with the sports and stuff like that. We've had a lot of fun. So I enjoy it.
No doubt. Well, Sioux Falls Jefferson coming up here next week, Tuesday. That'll be on the campus of NSU. Hopefully, we'll have to wait and see. You guys might have to move that to the Dome. What are you thinking?
Yeah, we are moved to the Dome for that, and we'll also play Mitchell that day as well. Mm-hmm. So we took that Mitchell game from the 9th, and we'll do like a triangular with Jefferson and Mitchell, just like we did yesterday. But JV and varsity will both be playing on that day. So yesterday was just varsity, and then on Tuesday, both squads will get to play.
When you have a couple games in the same day, is it like five innings? Is that usually what it
varsity is?
Is
seven, JV JV is five.
JV is five. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
All right. Looking forward to next week and happy Easter. Thanks for popping in
yeah,
the studio.
Absolutely.
Go Cubs and go Golden Eagles.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Head coach Cassidy Neer joining us here in studio on FSA. Head coach of the Phoenix of UW Green Bay Sundance Wicks. He'll be joining us over the phone line after this brief break on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Stay tuned. Back on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at HubCityRadio.com. I was telling you, I was breaking out the Eric Johnson here today.
Yeah, no, the only song I know was the last one you played, so I got to dig a little bit deeper here.
Yeah, I don't know if our next guest knows a whole lot about Eric Johnson. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Sundance Wicks, the head coach of the Phoenix of UW Green Bay, he joins us on the phone line. Coach, what do you know about some Eric Johnson?
I have no idea who that is. I'm not going to lie to you right now. If I did, I'd be full of crap.
Well, I appreciate the honesty. I know I'm always getting honesty from you, which is very much appreciated. But thanks for taking some time out of your very busy schedule. I know you've got lots of recruits on campus, and you know that's kind of the next step, right? After an incredible season, just kind of turning around a program that only won three games last year into 18 this year. Just what does that kind of mean for you and your perspective to kind of turn this program around and really kind of put Phoenix basketball on the map a little bit?
Well, guys, you know, it's a different world we live in now, right? And I think it's probably the hardest adjustment for even just fans and not, let alone coaching, is understanding the world that we live in now, right? It's different today than it was yesterday. And we can't go back because there is no going back. And so those that are early adopters to this new way of life in the transfer portal and how the game has changed a little bit, you probably get a little bit of a leg up because you just learn to live in the uncomfortable and uncertain world that it is right now. But for us, like, you know, I won't do too much of a patting myself on the back here, because you go from three wins to 18 wins. I mean, it's probably that one of the easier things to do is to go from, you know, not very good to pretty good. It's hard to go from good to great, but we were, you know, we're the ninth greatest, you know, single season flip in Division I basketball history. It's the greatest single season flip in Green Bay basketball history. And so there was a little bit of history that was made in what we did. And we did it a lot with just identifying the right type of human being first, which is kind of crazy to think about. Is everybody, you know, wants to win with talent nowadays. But at the end of the day, you just can't go get talent. It's not, you got to pay for it nowadays, guys. Mm-hmm. And it costs. And I don't have that type of capital, right? And most of us don't have the money to just go pay for talent. So it used to be that you could recruit underdeveloped human beings, underdeveloped players, and then develop them. And then they became talented. But no, like, so I just think living in this world now is different. I think we did a really good job of finding local kids who really have a lot of blood in the bricks here and who grew up loving Green Bay and wanted to be around Green Bay. And it's no different than being in Aberdeen, right? I mean, you got my man Gus Buss who bled maroon and gold. And those guys, they're becoming rare nowadays, but they should be celebrated at a high level. People that have been there 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, that wanted to stay and wanted to see it all the way through. I got a lot of appreciation for those, but also I think those that decide to come and stay and play, even if it's for two more years or if it's a year, but that they choose you last, right? Like, that's my new game right now. I want someone to choose us last. I want to make their last stop their best stop. I want them to choose us on the way out, because on the way in, they may choose you and use you, but on the way out, if they choose you last, they chose that this was going to be their final stop. And I'm going to start appreciating that a little bit more.
Coach, I saw a tweet that says this program is on the rise in more ways than one. 42% average attendance increase, 63% increased ticket sales. Could you just talk about what it's like playing in front of that home crowd? It seemed like it was a difference this year. Would you agree with that?
It was, and we didn't start that way, right? It's kind of like, you know, I said the field of dreams, you know, if you build it, they will come. People are always going to try to be a little bit more leery on whether or not they're going to spend their dollar to come watch you play. They want to make sure they're coming to an exciting brand of basketball or something that maybe is going to last or they can relate to or connect to. And we talked about the Green Bay Way up here. And, you know, Northern State's like the title town of the Midwest, just like Green Bay is. And there's a certain style of basketball that you got to play in a certain brand that fans connect with. And we're gritty. I always say we're gritty, not pretty, but I'm gonna lie to you here a little bit. We're a little gritty and we're a little pretty, because we were really good defensively, gents. Hold the teams to the lowest defensive scoring output in the league, but we also made the most threes in the league. So it's ironic that we were the best defensive 3-point field goal percentage team, but we also shot the most, scored the most threes, made the most threes from the three-point line while holding teams to a low offensive output. And so for me, it was a little bit of gritty and pretty because I still like shooting that ball. If you know anything about me from back in the day, man, I like shooting that ball.
Sundance Wicks joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen and working through some technical problems. So appreciate your flexibility here with this as well. I got to ask about the fact that you and Coach Smiley were both named Coaches of the Year in your respective conferences. I mean, you guys go back to your Northern days as roommates. How cool is that? I don't know if that's ever happened before. You got two coaches at the D1 level being named Coaches of the Year in their respective conferences. Obviously, he at the Big Sky and you in the Horizon League. That's a pretty cool deal.
That's weird. I mean, think about this. So we came to college, two knuckleheads, staying in Jerdy Hall, RIP Jerdy Hall, all right, room 316. So think about this. Two dudes that were roommates in room 316, you know, bunk bedding our lives away, happened to be in one calendar year at the same, voted on as Coach of the Year by our peers. That is some weird serendipitous event that may not ever happen again, and maybe has never happened in the history of college athletics. Although I do know there's some weird hotbeds, like, you know, being out in Youngstown, Ohio, where like guys like, you know, Saban's from, or Jim Tressel, like where all these like hotbed coaches are from certain areas. There's something in the water in Aberdeen. I'm gonna tell you that right now. The coaching, you guys should start getting into coaching right there. If anybody's out there listening that wants to get into coaching, now is your time. Right? There's something in the water in Aberdeen. I think it's gonna work out for you.
There you go.
Yeah, and I actually saw this as well, Coach. You know, you mentioned you guys had a great year, 18 wins, a complete turnaround. I was following you guys pretty closely in the Horizon League, just seeing how you guys were doing, and I was rooting for you guys there in the Horizon League tournament. But saw this, you got Noah Reynolds, finalist for the Lou Henson National Player of the Year. You also had a freshman in David Douglas named Kyle Macy National Freshman of the Year. I mean, that's big time, right, having two guys in a category like that and being some finalists, right?
No, it's just a testament to the work, right? I mean, that's, as a coach, you always know that any accolade that you get is because of the team, because of the success you had. Any individual award is always a reflection of the type of team you had. We had a really great locker room this year. And I say that, and I think a lot of coaches can say that, and it sounds like coach speak, but you got to think about these dudes chose to come to Green Bay when we were 3-29, when we were at our lowest and the worst in the program history, and they chose us. And I've tried to practice gratitude as much as I can for this program and this team because of the people that believe in you when you're at your lowest, right? I always say you should watch the phones after losses way more than wins. After wins, you're going to get a lot of texts. But after losses, you're going to find out who's really in the foxhole with you. These guys were foxhole friends this year, man, foxhole family this year. And they deserve all the awards that are coming towards them. Noah and, you know, just, with him being in transfer portal, wish him all the best of luck out there in the transfer portal, because it is a free marketplace now. And those guys can go out there and make a lot more money than any coach I know right now. And it's just one of those things where you're looking at it and go, what would you do if it was your son or daughter? I think there's a balance to all this, but I also think there's a lot of opportunity out there as well.
Yeah, and did you think there was a turning point in this particular season? I know, you know, you mentioned the three wins prior last year. You mentioned the hard work, but it seemed like there was a turning point this year. When was that?
For us, for me personally as a coach, I always believe how you come back after Christmas. And that's usually when conference starts and you start to cramp.
Dropped again. Well, we'll bring Coach Wicks back here. Don't you just love new technology?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's always fun. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but it's always when you come back after Christmas. And we played Wright State and Robert Morris after Christmas and ended up beating a really, really good Wright State team, who Scott Nagy, you guys all know, is South Dakota State blood, right? A little legacy there, and now going to be the next head coach at Southern Illinois. And so we got our butts kicked when I played by South Dakota State Nagy teams, by the way. I think we only lost by three my senior year, but I never got a win on a Nagy team. And so we swept Wright State. We swept Scott Nagy this year, tip of the cap there to our boys. But that was when I think our guys really believed, like, we're a team. We're a real team. And then I think we went on a five-game winning streak at that point and kind of flipped our season around. And then people started talking about, you know, one of the greatest flips in college basketball history, which – it doesn't happen. If you got to go win some games that you're not supposed to, right? And even though you're picked dead last to start the league, you're never going to have that mentality that you're a last place team when you're in the fight. But you're going to keep that chip on your shoulder. And so when we beat Wright State, I thought at home, and handled them a little bit, like that was the turning point for us.
Maybe one or two more here with head coach Sundance Wicks on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And we played your audio clip of magic. We were talking about that on the Sports Hub here. I don't know, that's probably about 2 months ago now or so. But you were talking about magic there at the Crest. Can you just kind of unpack what that means for you and this program going forward? Because, you know, when magical things happen, that's when maybe you guys are still playing at some point in time in mid-March now.
Yeah, there's some magic and there's also some voodoo hexes, right? we had a lot of magic going on this season, and the voodoo hex was, you know, Noah steps on a foot, you know, the player of the year candidate steps on a foot and sprains his ankle, and we miss him the last, you know, five games of the regular season, and go 1-4 without him. There's a little bit of, you got to get lucky too at our level. You gotta stay healthy, and that's part of being lucky is staying healthy. But the magic really is just what's exciting to see. And it was a lot like when we went to the national championship, you know, in 2017. Mm-hmm. It was like you're on a ride, and you don't want it to end. And it was like all these things happen. You're like, what the hell's happening right now? This is so cool. And all of a sudden, you're playing in the Pentagon in front of a packed house of Aberdeen, you know, loyal Wolves fans. And it was one of the coolest moments ever. And you do it, and what you loved about it, the magic was the moment with the people. The magic was that moment with everybody in Aberdeen coming down to the Pentagon. The magic this year was just seeing the fans who really loved this program come out of hiding because they were a little bit, you know, embarrassed about what we were. That was the magic. The winning and losing, it's all part of it. The magic is creating that belief again that everybody – is used to, like, man, this is the special place. Aberdeen's a special place. Green Bay's got a lot of Aberdeen in it. Like, there's a lot of people that have given a lot of their life to the community and to the support of the athletics program, and they just want to see it done the right way. And it's, to me, like, that's what's exciting. Mm-hmm. That's the magic. The magic is just reinvigorating the fan base to get them behind us again, because we all need that belief too, because it drives resources, it drives funding, it drives recruiting, you know, when kids can walk. Yeah, so that's a lot of it, man. It's so they can be around town and feel that love and support from everybody else, right? Like, that's what you want. And so that was a lot of the magic.
Well, good luck the rest of the off season here. A little bit just underway, actually, now that I think about it, for you guys. I know you've been kind of in it now for the last week and a half or 2 weeks or so with recruiting and what have you. I know a lot of recruits come into campus to try to be the next tier of Phoenix there. So best of luck recruiting. Good luck with the portal and everything else that entails. And sorry about the technical issues, but we appreciate you taking the time out of your day here, Coach.
No, it's all good. Portal combat, man. It's portal combat time, man. It doesn't stop.
Right. Good stuff. Coach, thanks so much.
Yep, see you guys. Thanks. Right.
Take care. That's head coach Sundance Wicks joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Apologies to Coach Wicks and our listeners out there. We've got this brand new telephone system that we're working through. I think some of the kinks are starting to be worked out here, but, you know, we have had a lot of fun watching that program kind of blossom a little bit. We talked about it with audio cuts on the program 2.5-3 months ago or so, and we're like, yeah, I think he's got something kind of cooking there a little bit in Green Bay.
Yeah, and, you know, you can just feel his energy. I remember when we had him on, he said, Matt, you ready? You ready? He's going to bring the heat. He's going to bring the energy. You can just sense it through that phone call. And, you know, just a great turnaround from a season ago where they only won 3 games. And, you know, I like what he talked about when, you know, it does take, you know, you could talk about what you do in the off season. You could talk about the hard work, but it does take a couple games where that you're supposed to win that you're not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And that just, it gains the confidence of the team. That happened for them. They rattled off, 4 or 5 straight, and they never looked back and had an excellent season. And, you know, that's a team, too, that's in the same league as Oakland, mm-hmm. who went on to have a pretty magical run in the March Madness tournament there with Jack Golke and them. So, you know, that league, it's very competitive, and I'll tell you what, they got something brewing over there, and we'll have to just see how this season leads to next, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I would just say, just don't be shocked when you see Sundance Wicks on True TV or CBS or one of these other networks, you know, in mid-March when this team is making a legit run at the Sweet 16 or something like that. Just don't be surprised. You heard it here first, March 29th. on in 2024. This team is not that far away from maybe doing something special like that. And like you mentioned, transfer portal, that's kind of part of the business. And I've got my Sharpie in hand. I might have to just write that up on the big board.
Yeah, yeah, that would be an early prediction for next year. But I'm with you. He's just got that energy. And I feel like, you know, you get him on television in a big moment like that, people would gravitate towards that, I feel like, for sure. Just his energy, his passion, you could tell. And, you know, great season for them. And you, when you have a season like that, it builds for the future, and I think the future is bright for the Green Bay Phoenix.
A coach that we're definitely rooting for. Coming up next on the show, we'll wrap up this installment of the Sports Hub after this. Back on this Friday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. It's our final segment of the work week. A couple of great guests. Phone line, not so great.
No, not great. Not great from the phone line in its debut.
Yeah.
Not as good as my debut at the coaching level.
Right.
You know, obviously I got a win and a trophy. Phone line, not a great debut here today.
Yeah, this is literally the debut of our new phone system. So contact was made, but probably struck out.
Yeah, you fouled off a couple pitches there, phone line, and you just, you know, you struck out looking there on a pitch that painted the black on the outside corner.
Well, at least Coach Wicks was a good sport about it, and we appreciate him. And I wrote it up on the big board. All right, there you go. March 29th, I say Green Bay Phoenix to the Sweet 16 at some point in time under head coach Sundance Wicks.
That's a bold prediction, folks. That's a bold prediction. I like it, though. Hey, we need to add more to that paper, so I'm here for it.
I feel good about it. At some point in time, they will make it there, and the rest of the D1 fan base, be it a fan of UNC or Illinois or Marquette, they're going to say, yeah, that's Sundance Wicks. I saw him. That guy brings the juice. So just keep your eyes out for that program for sure. The Class A, B, and AA All-State teams have officially been released. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com. We've got the entire list of all of the boys and girls that are on that list. Taryn Hermanson, one of them for the girls. She's on the second team. And Class B, a lot of these guys are going to be playing at the next level. One of them, Nicholas Marshall, we talked about him. I think it was off the air more accurately. He's going down to Briar Cliff. He and his teammate there,
Euler
are going down to the Cliff. Kind of a cool deal.
Yeah, no, I saw that. Very excited for them. They're going to make an impact, I feel like, right away with just the experience that they had. Also, that's something that stood out to me on that Class B. How about Braden Subtion? Third team?
Yeah, that's it.
Third team?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
We saw him play in live in person. I don't know if he's third. He's second to first team material here.
Yeah, and oh by the way, Joey Johnson, a third team member. I mean, this is a guy that went out and dropped, what, 48 in a game, set a school record, and helped a team win 15 games that had little to no expectations. Now, of course, coaching had something to do with that too and playing, but we talked about this off the air, and this was the thing that I was going
yes.
to say.
Okay, here
this
we
was,
go.
This was what I was going to say the other day on the Sports Hub when we talked about Coach Moeller being let go. He's such an adaptable coach. Things don't start well. They're 1-4. Then he goes to the guys and he says, okay, guys, let's go ahead and change things up a little bit. And the players are like, hey, let's change this. Let's tweak that.
Yeah, I remember him saying that.
And it's one of those situations where you've got a lot of coaches are just banging their head against the wall. This is what we're running. If you don't like it, well, then you can go ahead and play some JV ball or play somewhere else. You can transfer portal it. But Coach Moeller was a very, very adaptable coach. And for him to be shown the door after that, I'm just not a fan of that personally. That's just me.
Yeah. No, and I mentioned that when we were talking about it, like, he made the adjustment when they were 1-4. Mm-hmm. A change needed to be made. I remember he sat on here and he said, guys, I think we're going to be a better team in January, February than we were in, or I think he said February, than we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And he was spot on because the team went on to win 12 games. But he made that adjustment and his team, and you mentioned it, like, hey, what are you seeing out there? It was a good, you know, player-coach relationship, I thought. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's tough to see him leave for sure, but like we said, you know, hopefully he gets another opportunity somewhere here local.
Another guy that we'll be rooting for sure. Speaking of coaches going different places, Augustana, their national championship head coach from a small handful of years ago, Tom Billiter, he's going down to another location. He's going to, I think it was Emporia State, if memory serves correctly. So he is out. Cody Schilling is in. That's a bit of an eyebrow raiser.
Yeah, no, I think that caught a lot of people by surprise, and that's one of those where you don't think somebody's going to leave after they've been there so long, right?
Yeah, 21 years and a national championship, so he's going to a different program there. Also of note, MSU Mankato, the men and the women are both playing for national championships. The men, they'll be taking on Nova Southeastern after defeating West Texas A&M yesterday, 79-72. He's the Cobra. I'm Tukes. We're back at it on Monday right here on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Evergreen Aberdeen. Have a great weekend.